Hello and welcome to the UK Gamers Podcast. Well, I've been pretty busy recently, and that's meant I've not been able to keep my eye on quite as many pies as I would like to, but there you go. The world keeps moving and all sorts of stuff going on. In particular, Fantasy Flight Games seem to be going absolutely nuts recently. I don't know what's going on over there. Something must be in the water, but all sorts of stuff coming from them. They're continuing, obviously, to support their Call of Cthulhu card game, and I haven't managed to buy any of that yet, and that's probably a good thing, because I did get my fingers into Magic the Gathering at one stage, having avoided it for a couple of years, but they've taken a slightly different strategy there and kind of abandoned the collectible card game route and gone for this living card game, and lots of really nice stuff there. But what's caught my eye more is the Innsmouth expansion for Arkham Horror, and that hopefully is actually available now, or if it's not, it should be by next month. And that's definitely something I'm very interested in. Of course, the problem is yet another expansion means I'll probably need to buy a warehouse just to play with all the expansions now. Of course, the great thing about Arkham Horror is you can mix and match the expansions. You don't have to use all of them at once, and lots of arguments over which expansions are good and which ones you should use. It's definitely a nice little game system and very good production standards, which I hope will carry across to the other game lines they have. Obviously, you've got Middle-earth Quest. Looks nice, I have to say. I'm hoping to see a copy of that in the flesh soon. And if I like it, I think I'll pick it up. I'm a big fan of Tolkien. And looks like a nice little setup, that. Battle Lore, obviously, is Fantasy Flight Games now. Haven't really seen too much movement going on that. Troll and Country basically seems to be out, but no real firm movements on the Hero supplement at the moment, but still slated for 2009 by the looks of it, so hopefully sometime soon we get some nice firm announcements about that. Wings of War, obviously, is part of the product stable for Fantasy Flight Games, and very pleased to see that they continue to be talking up World War II miniatures, and best news as far as I'm concerned is there would appear to be an English language version of the deluxe set. Now, whether this is actually something that Nexus are doing by themselves or Fantasy Flight Games, I don't really know at this stage. But that's great news, because one of the biggest frustrations with the World War One deluxe set was you'd have to buy a foreign language version and then download the English rules, which just seemed a bit of a pain. Now, the only downside, and I'm going to have to pick on Wings of War at the moment, which is very disappointing, is that the deluxe set seems to be coming with four planes, great, but you got like a Spitfire, a Messerschmitt, a Zero, and obviously the American plane, and the problem with that is, what if you want to play a four-player game? Well, you've got, like, two theatres off operation, potentially. So, not quite so good from that point of view. But still, no doubt, going to be a great bargain, great fun. And definitely worth keeping your eye on. Wings of War, the World War One version, obviously getting lots and lots of support. And great news, the playmats would appear to actually be out. Now, I got very excited by these, and starting to get a bit disillusioned with them. I'm going to reserve final judgment till I actually see them in the flesh, hopefully at one of the shows coming up. Now, the reason I've kind of gone off the playmats a bit is, having seen the most recent pictures on Fantasy Flight Games website, if you buy both mats, you can end up with four giant Wings of War logos scattered all over the place, and that kind of rather ruins the effect of having the playmats. So I guess the marketing guys might need to have their knuckles wrapped there. One logo, yeah, you could get away with it. But four kind of rather breaks the illusion a bit, I guess. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you're going to play with miniatures rather than the base cards, these sort of things are probably going to matter to you. Anyway, let's not pick on it, because it is a rather lovely game system. Now, obviously, Games Workshop gave a license to Fantasy Flight Games to do some of their products, and they're fairly heavily supporting the role-playing games, but they've also announced Chaos in the Old World, and that's looking quite intriguing, so going to keep an eye on that as well. But in particular, I was intrigued to see that Rogue Trade is going to get some support for an adventure on the 20th of June, so hopefully this will go out in time for that. Now, why is the 20th of June interesting? Well, that's the free RPG day, and it's definitely worthwhile keeping an eye on the various websites and hanging out at your local store, because obviously there's going to be some support for that. Now, talking of the 20th, that brings up a show, the Phalanx show, and at that show, hopefully, Vitrix will be demonstrating their Highlander range for the Napoleonic area. So definitely get yourself along to Phalanx if you can. Now, moving into next month, on the 4th and 5th of July, you've got the Bovington Tank Museum with Battlegroup South doing their show. And that's something we always like to go to, and thankfully looks like definitely will be there, which is great news, because I have a long list of shows and events that I always want to go to each year and never quite get around to it. But thankfully Bovington is one of those ones that is 99% certain to happen. So I'm really pleased, and it's a show I would recommend you go to. Unfortunately, Bovington being right down deep in the south of the country, if you're way up north, might be a bit of a problem getting yourself to that, but it's worth a visit. Not only have you got the excellent tank museum, but mixed in amongst all that World War II paraphernalia, you've got demonstration games, participation games, traders, and you even get veterans. And I'm hoping a couple of veterans who I've been meaning to talk to for the last couple of years will actually return this year as well. Particularly poignant for me, obviously, with the recent D-Day anniversaries going on. And these guys, you know, they fought for us, and we should honour these guys. They put up with a lot. And obviously, if you're into wargaming, you should be aware that nasty things happen in war. Anyway, definitely a show worth going to, and maybe if you recognise my dulcet tones, we can have a chat. Anyway, I hope to see some of you there, and if you can't make it this year, definitely put it in your list of things to do before you die. Moving on, in July, there's also the Bacchus Open Day on the 18th. Go check out Bacchus's website. Places are limited. Another thing that I'd love to get myself to, but sadly won't be able to make it this year. But definitely worth popping along to Sheffield to have a look at that. Peter's great value. I always like to have a chat with him at shows when I bump into him. And he's producing some really, really nice bits and pieces, and lots of little products from him trickling out. I'm very pleased to see the Sassanids and Parthians getting some nice support from him, because they're an army I do quite like. Right, well, that pretty much covers the shows. Now, talking about wargaming, came across an announcement for Konig Krieg 1733-63. Now, I'm not 100% sure if this is a brand new product or just something that's had a relaunch on a website, but it's definitely something that looks intriguing, and for a while now our games clubs had some figures for kind of the Black Powder era, and not really been desperately keen on some of the rule sets. And Konig Krieg's caught my eye, and something I might try and get the club to have a look at. But the website looks quite nice. Rules look interesting from what I've seen of them so far. And definitely worth having a look into. Now, with wargaming, obviously you need miniatures. And Black Hawk Games have made a rather interesting announcement about a sculpting dolly for male and female figure types. And that's really caught my eye. Quite fancy having a go with some green stuff. And lots of humorous debates about that. But a great way of maybe, if you want that really special figure, well, you know, if someone doesn't make it for you, well, you're going to have to make it for yourself. And the sculpting dolly will help you with that. Now, if they made it in a smaller scale, that would be a great help for those of you who are fans of Epic Armageddon. Well, why am I going on about that? Well, Forge World have announced potentially a bit of a disastrous announcement. They ran off a whole load of miniatures with some of their moulds, and whilst they're keeping the moulds, it looks like they're not going to be using them for a bit. Obviously, they've running low on stock, and they don't seem that keen on running off another load of bits and pieces, which is a bit of a shame, because often the Forge World figures not only look miles better than the official Games Workshop ones, but sometimes they actually worked out as slightly better value as well. So if you're into Epic Armageddon, you might want to pop yourself over to Forge World ASAP and grab what you can. Unfortunately, quite a few bits seem to be out of stock now. Hopefully, at some stage, they get back round to re-supporting Epic Armageddon, because, in my opinion, that's one of the best rule systems they ever produced. But there you go. Right, what else we got going on? Well, rather shockingly, seems to have been a bit of a spat between Martin Wallace and his business partner over Age of Steam, in particular the trademark. And unfortunately, whilst I don't really know too much, because I'm not a big fan of railway games, I have to say, it would appear that Martin Wallace has basically had to just walk away from the name Age of Steam because, you know, of a falling out with his business partner. Now, these things do happen. It's a bit of a shame. But if you take yourself over to Fred Distribution, you'll be able to help support Martin Wallace and his railway stuff by looking into Railways of the World and Railways of England and Wales. You know, he also is responsible for some other stuff. In particular, there's a rather interesting game he's brought out called Waterloo. And that's using wooden pieces and allows you to fight the entire Battle of Waterloo in, I don't know, maybe as many as 4 hours, which isn't too bad, really, considering the size of Waterloo. But it's had some quite interesting reviews, which makes it look very intriguing. Now, RPGNet has a review, but also the Meeples and Miniatures podcaster is talking about that. So definitely go and look at that. I don't want to repeat what they've said, so go check them out. And definitely a game system that has caught my eye. Now, in addition to the announcements on that, there's been the announcement that Pandemic's going to get its expansion. Now, Pandemic is a little game system I quite like. It seems particularly appropriate with all the little outbreaks we're having at the moment of various nasties. But Pandemic's got this new expansion, which seems to be an interesting take on the expansion idea. It's not a complete expansion where you have to use all of it. It's an expansion where it's got, you know, several different rules tweaks, and you can pick and choose which ones you want to incorporate into your game. And the one I'm particularly intrigued by is this idea of a bioterrorist, you know, where one player is playing against all the other players. And I think that could work quite well. I mean, after all, it works quite well for Fury of Dracula and several other games. So why not bring that to the Pandemic world? So definitely interesting little expansion, that. And I believe that's pretty much out. Or if it's not out, hopefully your shops will have it real soon now. Well, I think that pretty much covers all that I want to talk about right now. One final little snippet that I did find very interesting was that apparently for October there's going to be the Board Game Geek board game. And that looks like quite an amusing little game. Might be quite great, or it might just be kind of a bit of geek chic. We have to wait and see. But intriguing idea. Basically, you're a board game collector who goes around collecting games, and they've managed to get loads of different game companies to allow their graphics to be used in this one product. Could be interesting. Have to wait and see how things go, whether it does actually make it to the table. But definitely one to keep an eye on, and I did find it quite intriguing when I came across that little news snippet. Now, why am I talking about that? Well, as you're probably aware, I have the Board Game Geek Guild for this podcast, and I'm a bit bemused that I seem to have several less members of the guild than I have listeners for the show. So if you've got any feedback, it might well be worth your while popping along to Board Game Geek, signing up, and just join my guild and give me feedback. Obviously, without feedback, I'm not sure whether I'm telling you what you need to know or not. Anyway, that's probably going to do me for now. When we come back from the break, I'm going to be talking about plastic miniatures. The reason I've decided to do this is I seem to spend most of the news talking about, oh, Vitrix this or Perry that or Games Workshop the other. So I thought, well, maybe I should talk a bit about plastic miniatures. Mainly due to the fact that I know that in a lot of the wargaming circles, plastic miniatures are slightly sneered at, and I think this is a bit unfair. So, decided I'm going to talk a bit about that after the break. So, see you soon.
Quick, shut that door, man.
As if that's going to stop it.
Look, it's not my fault the Elder Sign didn't work.
That's because it's shaped like a star.
No, it's shaped like a tree.
Star!
Tree!
Star! Well, it's too late now. We're the last ones.
What about Lady Hetherington?
She set on fire, then exploded.
And Father O'Leary?
He plucked out his own eyeballs and ate them.
Damn! I wish I'd visited YogSothoth.com more often.
YogSothoth.com?
Yes, you know, that Call of Cthulhu website. Jolly useful. It's got forums, news, even interviews with the great, and the undead.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, my lord! Stay away from me, you horror! No!
Well, you'll not take me! What? No! Please, no!
Yog Radio, a Cthulhu podcast from YogSothoth.com.
Hello, and welcome back. Well, as I said, I'm going to talk about plastic figures, and I'm not going to go into any great depth or cover every single thing that's out there, because it would just take too long. But I want to kind of defend plastic figures. As you're probably aware, I talk a lot about them in my news items, particularly the 28mm stuff. And the reason for that is I'm very excited by this new development in plastic figures, and I guess this is where maybe coming into wargaming a bit later than maybe some of the other people, I've got a slight advantage. My first real exposure to plastic figures was probably the 28mm Games Workshop stuff, namely the second edition box set, which came with Space Marines and Space Orcs. Now, the detail on those was pretty good, wasn't brilliant, wasn't bad, easy to glue, easy to paint, and in fact I've never varnished them. I've had them from new and I've never really had any major issues with paint coming off. You know, maybe the odd figure here and there needs a little touch up every now and then, but much less than my metal figures, for example. And of course, nice and light, very robust. You drop the figure, it tends to bounce rather than snap or break. So, you know, I love plastic. It tends to be cheap, tends to be light, tends to be easy to assemble, easy to paint. However, that's talking about hard plastics. Now, obviously, some people might scoff a bit when I say cheap, because obviously Games Workshop recently have put their prices up, and, for example, I did see one box set of theirs where it worked out at about £3 an infantry figure, which was a bit steep. Now, when I'm talking about plastic, of course, I'm not talking about just the 28mm stuff. I'm talking about the entire range, which pretty much, as far as I know, goes from 6mm up to 54mm, and I guess there might be a few plastic figures bigger scale than that. But if you're talking about the kind of military modelling scales, 20mm and 54mm, or more accurately, I guess, 172 and 132, 135, the figures there tend to be quite good value, in particular in the 20mm range. Now, the 54mm range I particularly enjoy because they tend to be the same sort of hard, easy-to-glue plastic as Games Workshop, so easy to assemble, easy to modify, easy to paint, and have the same advantages of nice lightweight. Obviously, 54mm has its own little problems, mainly due to the fact that it's such a big scale that getting scenery and a table big enough to play it on can be a problem. But if you're into skirmish games, for example, World War II, fantastic, and there's loads of stuff out there for World War II in that range. And my favourite stuff there, I guess, is the slightly large Airfix multi-pose figures. They look absolutely amazing, and with careful mixing of components, you can get a great unit built up. There are obviously the more kind of military modelling ranges as well, from Academy and Tamiya and people like that. Now, when you talk about plastic, though, I think a lot of people either think of the cheap, nasty plastic figures for kids, where you get, like, you know, 2,000 million figures for 2p, and yeah, okay, they're horrible. They're very soft, bendy plastic in really awkward poses and, you know, non-historical detailing. But if you buy the 20mm range, there's a growing collection of fairly realistic poses with good historical detail and a nice broad range. And to my mind, hat industry has a particularly good selection of, for example, Ancients, a pretty good selection of Napoleonics as well. But there are other manufacturers out there like Italiari and Revel and Svendi and so forth. So there's quite a good support for that. In addition, in the 20 mil range, of course, there are some metal manufacturers, so you can always spice things up by buying some of those. And for example, in the UK, you've got New Line Design for kind of ancients and Napoleonics. For World War II, you've got like SHQ, Fantassin, a whole load of other people. Now, when it comes to 20 mil, I would say World War II is probably the weakest area for plastic infantry and the cavalry and so forth. But you can get quite big units quite cheaply, and if you mix them up carefully with your metal figures, you can get a nice broad range and really bulk out your forces quite nicely. Napoleonics can be some hit and miss products in there, but you know, if you pick carefully, you can get nice big units quite cheaply, quite quickly there as well. But for me, the biggest area for 20 mil is ancients. Now, of course, the problem you run up against there is that most ancients players like to play with 15 mil and like to play with metal. So that's going to be your big problem. And I suppose that's the biggest problem for plastics of all, is that they're quite cheap to buy and therefore easy to collect, because they're cheap, they're light, don't take up huge amounts of room. But of course, if you come to sell them on, you might not have quite such an easy time as, for example, with a 15mm metal figure. So whilst they're cheap to buy, the cost of ownership could be a bit of a problem, because if you decide to sell them, you might have a bit of a hard time. However, having said that, there is a market out there, and I think it's a market that might grow. Now, when it comes to plastic, there's three types, really, you're going to come across. There's soft, nasty, horrible plastic. Stuff sort of in between the soft, nasty stuff and the hard one. And then the nice, hard stuff, kind of a bit more like the Games Workshop style, which is nice and easy to work with. Now, a lot of the 20mm stuff these days fits into the middle, where it's slightly soft, so it's bendy and therefore robust, but not quite so easy to work with as the hard stuff. But equally, it's not so cheap and nasty as the really cheap bendy stuff that it's almost impossible to work with. So my advice to you is, if you are buying 20mm stuff, try and get the nice plastic. And in particular, obviously, you want the hard stuff if you can. But you're probably going to get the kind of intermediate stuff. So when it comes to that, make sure you've got a nice, decent glue. And for that, you're probably going to want something like, I think it's Super Glue All Plastics, the name of it. And that should hopefully bond your plastic figures together nicely. Other techniques I've seen are pinning and using like a super glue or so on. I've also heard of people basically melting the bits together, so just a little teeny bit of heat and then instantly bond the bits together, and as the plastic cools, it kind of bonds it together. And that's potentially a bit exciting and some nasty fumes, but does seem to be a viable option. When it comes to painting, however, that can be a problem. Different solutions out there, but a lot of them tend to start with washing your figure in soapy water. And very popular option, having done that, is to paint it with PVA and then paint on top. Now, I'm not so keen on that. The reason being is I actually had a figure where someone had tried that, and a fairly firm, not hard, but firm rub of my finger just lifted the paint and the PVA off in one go as one kind of like second skin layer, and that's put me off trying that technique. So the technique I actually do is I get some cheap nasty black kind of acrylic paint, and I paint it on as thickly as I dare without obscuring all the details. And I paint it on. I don't spray it on. And that is very important. You have to paint it on and rub it on and make sure it's on there really well. And then I leave it to dry, you know, at least a week. And when you come back, if you very gently rub the figure, you tend to find the paint doesn't flake off. Now, on some figures I've had, you know, particularly on like the ears of horses, the paint can rub off slightly. But, you know, a second coat, leave it for another week or a month, tends to take care of that. And basically what you've ended up doing is putting a thin little flexible layer of paint on top of your plastic, and then that takes the paint really well. And I've got a couple of figures where I've done that, and the paint's adhered really, really well to the figure. I haven't had any problems with it flaking off. Now, obviously, it might flake off a bit on the bendy spears, but then again, I have that same problem with my 15mm metal, where, in fact, the spear bends, the paint rubs off or flakes off, and then eventually the spear snaps off. Well, I'd rather have a plastic spear bending around with no paint than no spear at all, personally. Now, obviously, some people say, oh, no, you're not enough of a gronad, you need to drill out the spear and put some florist wire in and all that. Well, the great news is some of the plastic manufacturers seem to agree with that. And, for example, I've got a load of Greek hoplites, and they don't even come with any pikes. You have to fit your own pikes, and that's something I've got to get round to and paint those up at some stage. But I'm going to leave them till last. Now, when it comes to the 20mm range, it's a very broad range across different time periods. But in particular in the ancients, you can have a very hit-and-miss affair. For example, Hat's got some kind of Gauls, Celts, and some of the boxes I'm very impressed with. Reasonably stiff plastic, nice poses, a couple of weird poses, but not too bad. But one of their sets has a couple of nice figures, but it's made from this horrible, cheap, nasty, grey, bendy plastic, and that was a bit disappointing. Plus, the actual modelling, although it's quite detailed, it's kind of quite cartoony. So you do need to watch out when you're buying your sets to be well informed. So I'm going to put in the show notes the plastic figure review website, which will help you see the sets and read reviews about the sets, and hopefully that will help you with your buying decisions. Now, in the defence of plastics, what I'd like to say is, if, particularly in the 20mm area, they're cheap, they're robust. These days they're a bit easier to glue and paint. And because of that, I think if you want to introduce someone to wargaming, you can't go much wrong with maybe buying them two boxes per army, maybe, for, well, 20 quid maybe total. So suddenly, you know, you've got four boxes for about 20 quid. So you've got two armies of 48 infantry and maybe 8 cavalry or 96 infantry. What a great way to introduce someone to stuff. Now, particularly with kids, they're not so fussed about painting the figures quite often. And because of that, I think it's a great way to introduce people to wargaming. Much better than probably Games Workshop now, where the prices have become very, very expensive, sadly. Plastics, I think, have been downtrodden for a while, probably based on old information. So if you haven't looked at plastics, please mend your ways, because things are much better these days. Now, obviously, I talked about Command and Colours Ancients. Plastic figures, great way to, if you don't like those little wooden blocks, get a very cheap army. And I believe you can buy the Carthaginian army box set and the Roman box set, and with just a couple of other little boxes, you've suddenly got equivalent to all the blocks you get in the core game, and it just looks awesome. Of course, the other option is to go with 6mm, and they're a pretty good price as well, but obviously they're metal, and we're trying to persuade you to look into plastics. Anyway, as I say, I very lightly covered plastics. I hope I've maybe changed your opinion of them. If I haven't, well, let me know and tell me why you don't like plastics. And we'll see if we can persuade people to give them a go. Now, with regard to plastics, there has been a big surge in plastic sets recently. And I guess it started around the year 2000, peaking in 2006, and it's dropped off a bit now. And you're probably getting all about 50 different sets a year from all the various manufacturers coming out. So there's a lot of product out there. And, okay, yeah, you might have to buy three or four boxes and bin half of the contents of the box because it's all weird poses. But, again, as I say, if you're careful, you're going to be able to use most of the poses and you'll be laughing. So, as I say, hope that's helped you with making up your mind that maybe plastics aren't so bad after all. So until next time, good gaming.